Steve, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy. Minus the Wendy part, Wendy has the day off today, and she'll be off tomorrow, but plans to be back on Monday, so listen in for that. All right, a couple things. Number one, I've asked Mark Carman to stick around for a little bit. Mark, thank you very much for doing that.
My pleasure, Bill.
Very nice of you to do. Reason being,
nice,
not that you're not welcome here anytime, you already know that, but
thank you, Bill.
Particularly today, because as happens on most July 4th holidays, we are treated with images of Joey Chestnut, champion eater Joey Chestnut, wolfing down record numbers of hot dogs and winning prizes.
It's disgusting and amazing all at once, right?
Boy, does that perfectly sum it all up. It really is. I can't stop watching it, and yet every year as I watch it, I get so sick to my stomach, and a lot of questions come up. The first question is this, though. You reported his story in the news as sports. This was part of your sports report.
Yeah.
And last night when I was flipping around television stations, they also included it as part of their sports package. Question number one, is a man wolfing down a whole bunch of hot dogs in a short span of time sports?
It's a good question. You know, actually, yesterday I was doing the sports in the afternoon, and Ryan Burroughs asking me, do you want the Chestnut or should I put that in news? I'm like, well, I'm really cool either way, however you want to do it. But it was a discussion, like, which one is it? I don't know. The word competitive is in there, competitive eating. I mean, so when you say competition, it sort of makes me think sports. But I don't know. If it was a competitive art fair, then it wouldn't be in sports. So maybe it's not sports. I don't really know, Bill.
But couldn't you also, you know how boys always do this. You pretend that you have a goalpost with your fingers and you make a football out of paper and you kick it.
That's sports.
That is sport.
Yes.
All right. I just want to be able to know. Well, all right. As a side note, this kind of ties in, but it kind of doesn't. People have said, that guy's a professional bowler and that's sports. And then people go, I'm not sure bowling is a sport. Or auto racing is another one that people go, it's just a guy driving a car. My grandmother drives a car. Is she an athlete? You know what I mean?
Right. Is a horse an athlete?
Right.
I mean, that's a whole nother argument. The auto racing one, and I've had it many times, and I used to be on one side, and I was on the wrong side. Those guys are athletes.
Auto racing is sport.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
They're incredibly well-skilled, incredibly well-conditioned. I sit in 200 degrees of heat and turn this car at ridiculous... that's a sport.
But that's kind of, not to make NASCAR fans upset, but that's kind of it is. You have a steering wheel in front of you, and you're just moving it a little one way or the other.
Correct, right, but...
Or dying. But
so it's not on par.
I mean,
it's not on par with a guy who's a football player, who's a soccer player.
I would agree with you, but there are some...
I know, they get nuts.
Yeah, listen, running around and having some... and using physical energy to that level is greater to me than auto racing. However, it's still a sport. Like, how far are we going to go down? Is a golfer?
That's another one that people always go, that's not really a sport, but I...
And then there's curling.
I think if scoring is involved, that gets a point, right?
Okay.
Right? And if strategy is involved, that gets a point, right?
I mean, who do you think are the best athletes out there?
Soccer players.
You really?
I do.
Why? Because they use their feet?
No. Just because of the physicality of the game, you don't see any fat soccer players. All soccer players are in A1 condition, but you do see fat bowlers, you do see fat, you know, auto racers.
Okay.
Right?
And I suppose there's definitely fat football players, there's an occasional fat basketball player, there's plenty fat baseball players.
But now getting back to the original topic of Joey Chestnut and people who are quote-unquote athletes for eating a lot of hot dogs, you would think those guys would be the chubbiest of all, and yet most of them are in fairly decent shape. I don't get it.
Joey Chestnut, I mean, I was reading about this today, Bill, actually, how he does it. He basically starves himself. He gets ready for an eat, like, before he I think he starts in May.
Do you train for this?
Yes.
You train for this?
He trains for it. He starts in May where he cleans everything out, does a cleanse, nothing in his stomach, and then he fires down as many hot dogs as he can do, re-cleanses himself, and gets ready to do it again. And one of his comments about, well, how do you feel about this? Well, I feel terrible. But a lot of people.
That's awful.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But a lot of people feel terrible after work, is what he said. I'm like, yeah, but you're putting 74 hot dogs in you, man. Like, I mean, it's cool that you're the mustard champion and all that. And like, this is his life. I mean, he goes around and makes appearances. It pays the bills for him.
So why isn't he a larger man? You would think that if that's what he's doing for a living, he would have something of a weight problem, but he doesn't.
He says he loves hot dogs, but I think the guy, and when he's not doing competitive eating, he is taking care of his body. He'd have to, right? He's eating Dave Bennett's kale.
When the game is over, after he's eaten all those hot dogs, 70-something, right, yesterday?
74, yes.
74 hot dogs. Does he then purge himself? Do we not see that? Does he go behind the stage and just empty himself?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't think he does, though. My understanding is, I haven't heard that, so I don't think he does.
Oh.
And it's kind of amazing, too, by the way, the 74.
Yeah.
He did 70 in 2016, 72 in 2017, 74 in 2018. The guy keeps on raising the bar, Bill. I mean, can you imagine?
Is this, they always say this of Cal Ripken's continuous game streak, is this hot dogs Cal Ripken, would you say?
Well, he did lose one year. He apparently got a little, he's won 10 of the last 11 years. So there was a year there where he thought, you know, I'm the great Joey Chestnut. No one's going to beat me. And he got taken down.
Somebody did. Somebody beat him.
Forget the name. But bottom line, he did lose one of those years. So I don't know if we can put him at risk Ripken level.
Are the rules different? I know there was a woman who won. She had 50-something hot dogs. She won the women's division. Are the rules any different for women? Is there, you know how in golf there's a ladies' tee that makes it a little bit easier? Is there any rule difference in the women's competitive eating and the men's competitive eating?
No, but there is a significant difference in the level of competition. So her name is Miku. Hold on a second here, Bill. I've got it somewhere on my score.
Miku.
Yeah, Miku will work. But she wasn't 50. She had 37. So half of Chestnut, right?
Wow.
Maybe our stomachs are smaller.
That makes what he does even more impressive but still disgusting.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all gross.
Mark, every year, this has become a 4th of July tradition because it's sponsored by Nathan's Hot Dogs, and you can't get away from it. If you're anywhere near a TV on July the 4th, you're going to see Joey Chestnut eating one after another after another. I'm so repulsed by it, and I cannot change the channel.
Well, see, but here's the thing. Like, you watch it on TV. Imagine the people that actually go and want to see it in person, and the bun just, like, drizzling out of the mouth. They make a thing of it. I mean, I'm going to the Nathan's, and we're going to root Chestnut on.
Right.
Why would you want to be in front of that?
It would be like a Gallagher show. You know how Gallagher would hit the melon, and if you're in the first three rows, you got melon on you? If you're sitting close up for the Joey, you're going to get Gallagher down.
Right. Oh, I mean, it's just an odd choice to me.
I'd much rather be hit by watermelon than smushed hot dog.
All right, you tell us, is this a sport? Because it's being treated as a sport. I'm not positive it is. If you're on hold, hold there. I'm going to get to you in a minute. 312-981-7200 is our number. You can text us or call us. More after this. Stick around. It's Bill F. on WGN. All right, it's Bill F. in for myself. Wendy Snyder's taking the day off today and tomorrow. Mark Harmon has been kind enough to stick around. And I quickly, Mark, you know this is true. I owe an apology to both Steve and Mary, who were talking all during the last segment, but I wasn't responding because I couldn't hear them. I had the wrong buttons pressed. So
that
I'm
was
sorry,
a great
Steve.
Half hour, Mark. Don't stink. I enjoyed it.
So sorry.
I'm rude.
I gotta be honest. I didn't notice anything was wrong. I thought it was totally fine.
I wouldn't just ignore you. I would never just ignore you guys.
You never ignore us. So
I'm so sorry.
We thought something was a little odd.
No, I would for some reason.
Or you went deaf.
Instead of the board, I was hooked up to a blender. So I kept hearing people kept making margaritas, and I go, "Oh, that's fine."
Salted or unsalted?
Salted. Oh, they were mostly salted.
I want a daiquiri pack.
All right, we can do that for you. All right, here's the question. Joey Chestnut every year comes out. I don't know. You said he's been doing this all year long. He doesn't just do it on the 4th of July. There's other competitions other than the 4th of July competition, Mark. I wasn't aware of that.
Here's a quote, Bill. My first hot dog practice will happen in the beginning of May. This was, he's talking about himself. It slowly gets more and more intense. There's a week and a half between my first practice and my second. I'm just trying to get my body used to pushing it in that fashion. Toward the end, I'm doing a practice every 6 days.
See, I had no idea that training was involved. I just thought you show up probably hungry, and then you eat as many of them as you can, the hot dogs.
And he finishes here. I should put this part in there, too. And I'm on an absolutely strict diet, making sure that I'm getting back to my target weight before I do another practice. It takes about 2 months to really know where I'm at.
Wow. All right, that makes it more impressive. Again, still disgusting, but impressive, right?
Highly disgusting, but somewhat more impressive.
Yeah. All right, so here's the question I pose to you. is this a sport? It is treated as a sport. Mark reports it in the sports, and if you watched TV last night, you saw it as part of the sports. But is he an athlete? Is this a sport? You tell me. Let's start out with Kevin. Kevin, thank you for hanging on. How are you?
Hey, good.
What do you make of this?
In our many ballroom discussions, we always said that it's not a sport unless you can play defense.
Oh, that's interesting.
With auto racing, there's other cars on the track, strategies. Well, let's just say Joey Chestnut goes to a contest and people are there trying to knock the hot dogs out of his hands.
Right. Right.
That makes sure that I would watch.
that's an awesome thing. I think they should add that in as like a secondary competition.
Yeah.
But what about golf, Kevin? No one's playing D in golf.
That's a skill. That's not a sport.
You're obviously
competing against yourself, but there's nobody really there. And bowling too. It's a skill. It's not a sport. Sport is when you can play defense and have to overcome it.
What about track?
Oh, that's a good one. Is track a sport then? It's no real defense.
Well, you're competing against other people at the same time, and
But they're not blocking you, probably.
That's athleticism.
How about when when you're eight and old uncle calls you sport? Does that make you a sport?
No, he calls me Chief.
That's better.
How about like chess? Is chess a sport?
I would qualify that as a game more than a sport, right?
Is that a skill or just a skill?
It's definitely a skill.
But you're competing and you have to train for it.
Tough.
It's a thing that nerds do. It's not a sport.
What about curling?
No, I'm just not smart enough for chess. I'm a checkers guy.
Oh, all right. Well, Kevin,
not a sport.
No, not a sport. Kevin, thank you so much for the call. Have a great week.
You can.
All right, Mark, on more than one occasion, I have said that I don't understand how if you're a professional bowler, you don't just bowl a 300 game every time. Because the pins don't move, right? The alleys, the dimensions of the alley are always the same, and people call up and they want my head. They want to come in and just chop my head off. They go, bowling is a sport. And I go, I know, but it's the same. No matter where you go, the alley dimensions are the same. The ball size is the same. The pin size is the same. You should never miss.
What's interesting to me about what you just said is having competed with and against you, I understand how you think there because you're so precise at what you do, and once you understand something, you have it. So you don't get why. How come you can't do it every time? That's
right.
The way you think, I'm pretty sure. So,
yeah.
But yeah, there's oils and different things out
there.
That's
what people always say is that they grease the alley differently with the oil, and you have to figure that out. But can that be that? I mean, it's not that dramatic.
Do you bowl?
I have bowled.
Okay.
I
don't know this whole perfection thing. That seems unreasonable, Bill.
I will give you, it is unreasonable. All right, let's talk to Jimmy's in Melrose Park. Jim, what do you think? Is this a sport, competitive eating? Does that qualify?
No, that's a skill. The only way that would be a competitive sport is if they brought it to Chicago and he tried eating 74 Chicago-style dogs.
Ah, with everything on it.
Yeah.
Now you got a game. Because these hot dogs are bare, right? It's just a hot dog in a bun and that's it.
Bears. Just a dog in a bun and a glass of water. He stuffs the bun in water and
Well, you got to coat your throat so that they slide down easier. So that's the water, right?
I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
There's a throat mechanism here that you're not referencing here, Jim. It's not easy, for the record.
I bet not.
Exactly.
I bet not. Jim, thanks so much. Have a great rest of the week.
Good show, man.
Thank you so much. Now, also, I'm sure you've seen this. If you watched Joey Chestnut yesterday or any time in the past, he's eating them so rapidly that little fragments of hot dog and bun are flying all. You know how, I'm sure you've used an electric saw on wood, and you get those wood particles flying all around?
All the time.
So I saw you building a tree fort this morning as I was coming in. So you get all those particles flying around. So as Joey Chestnut is popping one hot dog after another, there's hot dog particles in the air.
So you're saying that the full hot dog needs to be eaten and that shouldn't count?
All of it. You can't you can't have little bits of bun, little bits of Nathan's hot dog flying around because that is not it's not a full hot dog.
See, and that's the perfectionist in Bill Left. You didn't eat the whole dog. I just saw a dog laying on the table.
Right.
You suck.
You do not get your prize.
Right.
You get nothing.
Yeah. Well,
you get a full stomach and that's all you get.
I mean, I'm good with a 98% of a hot dog counts as the whole hot dog, but you're raising the bar.
You can round it up to, if you're at 98%, I would give it to you. Let's talk to Julie. She's on the north side. Julie, how are you? Thanks for calling.
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm just wondering, do they have to keep these things down for a few minutes, or can they just throw them right back up?
Do you know the answer to that, Mark? How long does it have to stay in Joey Chestnut's stomach?
They're not, I don't see anybody, I do not know the answer to the question, but I don't think that they're throwing up afterwards, Julie. I really...
Wow.
You don't?
They have to.
Not like, I don't think they walk off the stage and like there's a designated vomit area.
So I think two things. We need to add defense. So we need people
right, there needs to be defense, Steve.
And then we have to have a hold it down for 3 hours rule.
That is so disgusting.
Julie, are you better with it?
I barely keep one in.
Are you better with it thinking, all right, so let's... What you just said is a great point. Do you think it's only official if they do keep it in their stomach for X amount of time, or do you think they can purge themselves afterwards? What are you comfortable with?
Probably keep it in for just a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't do it in the first place.
No.
They're probably toxic and glowing by the end of this thing.
Julie, thank you so much. Have a great rest of the week.
You're welcome.
Take care. Bye.
All right, you too.
There was a time, now I love White Castles, right? So there was a time when I was in my prime eating days where I could have 10 without a problem. I'd buy 10, I'd eat 10, no questions asked.
Wow.
If I get through 3 now, it's a miracle.
That's a bold thing to admit that you would go 10 White Castles.
I could eat 10 without a problem.
Good for you, Bill. I'm impressed. So now you're down to 3? Really only 3? They're this little squarey thing.
I have done 4 on occasion, and you pay the price. You just sit there and go, yeah. I've had too many.
Where do you spend the rest of your day then?
reading.
Yes.
I pull out a novel, some Chaucer, some plays.
Well, like, okay, as a kid, how many hot dogs would you eat if you went to a game? Do you like hot dogs too?
During a baseball game, 2 was standard fare.
Okay.
And I can't enjoy a hot dog unless there's a baseball game in front of me. Like every once in a while, I'll be someplace and there's hot dogs and I go, I need to have a baseball game in front of me to enjoy a hot dog.
So, no, like a barbecue dog, you're never doing it. Give me the chicken.
I can do brats without a problem. Which is really, let's be honest, glorified hot dog. A brat is just a glorified hot dog. But the hot dog itself, not fun unless somebody's playing baseball.
See, I mean, Kevin Powell and I were having this discussion the other day. He claims you could do a dog an inning. A dog an inning.
9 hot dogs in a game.
Yeah, and as a kid, I would do 4. Easy
that's
4.
That's a lot. You don't think that's a lot?
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's a ton. But it was no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 instantly, the third, another one in the third, another one in the sixth.
Yeah.
Whatever, no problem.
Yeah. Wow. That's admirable.
Yeah.
I've never been more proud of you.
Thank you, Bill.
Let's get another call in. Frank wants to weigh in on this. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Hey, morning, guys.
It's ironic we're getting a call from a man named Frank during this topic, but go ahead, please.
That's right. I don't understand why it's acceptable to allow these contestants that participate in this eating contest to dunk the bread in water, because that's not how you're supposed to eat a hot dog,
right.
And it's almost cheating. But, I mean, I guess that Nathan wants to be able to broadcast and say that somebody ate 70 of our hot dogs, which is very impressive. I'll give him that. But that's not the way that a hot dog is supposed to be eaten. It's like eating a pie-eating contest and drowning in the milk at the same time.
Mark, Frank, obviously upset. How can we calm him down?
Frank, I like that you're holding standard here, but this is how they do it. So, I mean, if you're going there, to me, like a Nathan's hot dog, it's a really thin dog.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't, in my mind, count. That's like
you
half
a
hot dog.
Thicker, heavier hot dog.
A real hot dog.
Yeah. Frank, so we appreciate...
But again, it's not the way you're supposed to eat a hot dog.
No.
If you want to put 0 condiments on it and say you're eating a hot dog that way, but if you're dunking it in water and eating it separately, it's not
cheating.
A hot dog.
It's like steroids. It's like the Barry Bonds of hot dogs is what it is.
Exactly, Bill.
Yep, I'm with you, Frank. Thanks so much.
Maybe we need the Portillo's hot dog eating contest.
A real hot dog eating contest.
Right.
None of this Nathan stuff. I also think about third world countries where there's so many starving people and somehow they get footage of this. And then they just stare at each other, and they go, what? Wait, what?
That's a big ouch right
what
there.
What do they do? I know.
I haven't eaten in a week. Come on, man. That's terrible.
That's Mark Carmen. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you hanging out.
Bill, I appreciate you. Thanks.
All right, a lot more show coming your way next. It's Bill, in for myself. Wendy, not in today. Stick around. More ahead on WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff. Wendy has today off and tomorrow off. Patrick McDonald is our guest. Patrick, of course, a film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. And the guy who runs the best film tours in the Midwest, if not the country.
If not the country.
If not the world. I'm going to say that. You're up and running. Now, for people who don't know, let's describe this properly.
Yes.
In and around Chicago, there's several places that have become iconic film scenes. Some of your favorite movies have been shot here in Chicago. You take a tour out, and you show them all the highlights,
exactly.
And they get to see fame right in front of them.
You got it. And we have video on the bus, so we actually show you the scene and then show you the location.
That's fantastic. I mean,
it's so cool.
Which of the scenes is the most different? Like, which do people come out and they go, wait, that was here? I didn't know that. Is there anything like that?
Well, there's some obscure places that I've found along the way. There's a couple of warehouses out near Chinatown, okay?
Yeah.
And they, between those two warehouses, it's the old Schoenhofen Brewery, is where the Bluesmobile drove to the orphanage.
Ah.
You want to talk about obscure, but
yeah, that's
it is
very obscure.
So obvious once you see the scene, and then you see, right now they're condos, so they have a little fence where the alley used to be. But
why hasn't, in my opinion, Buckingham Fountain is one of the most beautiful, romantic places in the city,
yeah.
But I can't think of it ever being used in a movie. How is that possible?
I don't know. I don't think they get east of the Bean.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
There's some line of demarcation by the Bean, and they can't go east of that line.
I'm surprised. They used it in the opening of Married with Children.
Yeah, right.
Which we have on the tour. We do a little TV tribute.
Oh, you do. You do.
So, yeah.
Because I always say to myself, if there's a movie set in San Francisco, I'll lay down a $1,000 bet that they're going to show you the Golden Gate Bridge. It's just a given.
Sure.
It's a San Francisco movie. You're going to see the bridge at some point. But there's places in Chicago that just don't have that kind of notoriety.
I mean, the fountain's an interesting point because it's so visual.
Yeah. Colorful.
You filmmakers out there, take notes.
Yep. Maybe a movie about the Buckingham Fountain. Wouldn't that be great? What a great movie that would be.
It might be interesting.
All right, Patrick, a couple things.
Yes.
Number one, I was teasing this earlier, and I'm anxious to hear it from you.
Yes.
For years, we've been hearing there might be a Sopranos movie, and then James Gandolfini died, and everybody went, well, there goes that. Maybe not.
Huge news this week. The title was given for the movie. It's going to be called The Many Saints of Newark. The Many Saints of Newark.
Is it Sopranos semicolon?
It's the origin of the Sopranos,
but,
basically.
But the Sopranos will be in the title somewhere, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be the All Sopranos, the Many Saints of Newark. But they've named a director, Alan Taylor, from Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
But he also did a number of episodes of The Sopranos, so mm-hmm. he's very, very familiar with it. David Chase,
the creator,
is writing the script. And it's going to be set in the 1960s during a focus on a series of riots that occurred in Newark, New Jersey, a really bad race riot situation in the 60s. So from there is going to be the impetus, apparently, of Tony's...
So the tricky part, obviously, is finding a young actor who embodies James Gandolfini's style. Any ideas? Do we know anybody?
Well, they did have a few flashbacks in The Sopranos when they went back to his early days, but I think they're going to go for somebody pretty... I think they're going to want a star, basically, and who knows?
He was such a different breed that I can't think of anybody off the top of my head that has his style.
My father looks a lot like Tony
Soprano. So you think your dad will play the role? That's an interesting idea.
He just turned 81, so I don't know.
Come on. He can do it. Don't count him out.
No, I won't. I won't.
So then all the other characters that we've come to know and love over the years will be represented in a younger version.
Yeah. We'll see how Paulie got those white sides. You know,
and tracksuits.
All the
maybe they'll show
stuff.
Him buying his first tracksuit. That'll be fun.
Big pussy will be little thin pussy.
Yep.
Excuse my...
Is this going to be on HBO or is this going to be in movie theaters?
It's going to be in theaters. It's going to be in theaters.
I hope it's good.
I'm sure it's.
I sure hope it's good.
With Chase involved, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I interviewed him once and, you know, the ending of The Sopranos, all right? So this was after it. And he said after the series aired, he went to Europe. And this was before the days where you could set up your phone and get everything, you know, overseas. So he said, I'm kind of isolated. And, of course, the European press is not reporting on it. So he said, I'm just, you know, I took my 2 or 3 weeks in Europe and I came back. And he said, it was an explosion.
It blew up on him.
No way.
Of course it did.
To make of it, you know?
I'm surprised it didn't get the notoriety in Europe. I know that sometimes shows that are big here a year or two later will become big there, but I'm a little surprised.
I think the connective tissue wasn't there. You know, the Twitter and the Facebook and the thing and the Vice.
Yeah. Are you one of the people who believes that the show ended on a good note or on a bad note? That last episode, like you said, very controversial in the handling of the last scene. What do you think?
I'm all for something that is memorable.
Yeah.
And that is as memorable as you can get. I was at home. I thought the TV had gone.
Everybody did.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it faded to black, and everybody went, oh, this is the worst time for my cable to go out ever.
It was a screen, and it was total not silence and everything.
But wasn't it interesting that, I don't know if David Chase wrote that last episode or not, do you know?
Mm-hmm.
He did write it.
He had the ending 2 years before it actually occurred.
All right, so isn't it an interesting spin that he would leave it up to the mind of the viewer as to figure out what happened or what didn't happen? I think that's a really good move.
That's as cinematic as you can get.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, a couple of other things. This now is the mid-year. We're right at the 50-yard line on the year.
Yes.
So you wanted to talk a little bit about what have been the best movies of 2018, first half, and the worst movies of 2018.
Yes.
How much of a countdown do you want to do?
I'm going to go top five on the best.
All right.
Quickly, Black Panther.
Are we starting out fifth to first?
Let's go fifth to first. Okay.
All right.
So
I bet I know what the first one is, though, now.
I'm going to go with, I have a couple of animated films
at
5 and 4. Early Man, the Nick Park, Nick Park did Wallace and Gromit and Chicken Run. Early Man, hilarious.
Boy, it came and went so fast.
It did, but it was so good.
It was really good.
Very funny.
Very British.
Yes,
right?
Yes, but also in the tradition of Looney Tunes and things like that. It was all that subtle humor that the Brits are good
at. That's your fifth best of the year.
Yeah, that's my fifth. So my fourth is The Isle of Dogs, the Wes Anderson movie, which was just a pastiche of beautiful animation and that dry Wes Anderson thing. You know, it kind of petered out at the end, but I still loved it.
He's one of my favorite filmmakers, and he tries things. He's very, very original. So good for him.
It's great. And
third best?
Third best would be The Death of Stalin. We talked about this on the show. It was a satire about Joseph Stalin's death in 1952 and all the apparatchiks that were around him.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh my God, Steve Buscemi is Nikita Khrushchev.
Always good.
It's unforgettable. Yeah. Jeffrey Tambor's in it as well. We talked a little about his post-reconciliation there, and they did release the movie with him. So, that one was... That one is number three. Number two, Hereditary with Toni Collette. We were talking about that last time I was on the show.
I loved the first half of the movie
and
did not like the second half of the movie.
Interesting. It did get a little surreal.
It got beyond surreal. I wanted so badly for it to scare me, and everything going on in the first half of Hereditary was there. It was as creepy could be. That little girl is the spookiest kid that's ever been in a movie.
Amazing.
Ever.
Amazing.
But then I thought I don't know what happened in the second half. It just became incredibly unbelievable.
They went to the supernatural in the second half,
which
you know, is an easy place to go because you can do anything.
Yeah.
You know, and, but I still was tracking with it because I feel like it was really about our family trees.
Yeah.
The roots that are rotten in our family tree continue to emerge in ourselves.
A good way to look at it, a very positive way to look at it. Although if I close my eyes and that girl's face comes up, I scream like a little girl every time. All right, and the best movie, can I guess?
I said it.
Black Panther?
It's Black Panther.
How about that? How come? Why is that the best movie so far of the year?
It just struck me. It struck me, you know, you see a lot of these superhero movies on this beat, and when something comes along that just layers itself with history and colonization, and it was a real mature
It has
film.
A lot to do with the politics of today.
Exactly.
Despite not being about that, it becomes about that.
Exactly.
Doesn't it?
And also, you know, the African experience and the African American experience, the comparisons between the two. And it was the first of the Oakland movies. My gosh, the Oakland movies are just coming
Fast and Furious. Patrick McDonald is here. We'll tell you what the worst movies of the year are so far and then get into what's coming out this weekend. Stick around. It's Bill Left with you on WGN. Patrick McDonald is here, film critic over at HollywoodChicago.com. And the film tour, if people want to take the tour, the best way to reach you is what?
ChicagoFilmTour.com.
Easy. Very easy.
Yep.
We've discussed the best five movies of 2018 so far.
Yes.
Give us a countdown on the worst. What's the fifth worst movie of the year so far?
I only have three, actually, but I'll go number three. Number three is the Death Wish movie with Bruce Willis. I'm giving it, it wasn't like so horrible. I'm just giving it the bad timing award because it came out the weekend of the Parkland shooting. And it was just all about the worship of guns and the shooting 'em ups and the vigilantisms and the
The movie was filmed here, correct?
Yes, it was. It was, and utilized some interesting parts of Chicago. It wasn't filmed fully here. You could tell they went off the ranch a couple of times.
Yeah,
but most of it took place in the in that little alleyway near the Chicago Theater. There's a little alleyway, so there was one of the attacks took place there. And it still doesn't, and it's not bad. It's just a horrible timing, and it just may. I would say that anyone who saw it the first weekend had to have a bad feeling in their stomach.
Is this the first time a Charles Bronson movie's been remade? I can't think of any others. No House of Wax.
No, Great Escape.
No.
No, that hasn't been remade.
All right, so that's the third worst movie of the year so far. The second worst movie is what?
The second worst is Maze Runner, The Death Cure.
Mm.
The Death Cure, yeah. I think the cure would be death for this third sequel of the Maze Runner movie.
Third and final, right? Is this the last one?
Yes. Yeah. I think everybody's relieved about that.
All right, and the worst movie of the year so far, Patrick, is?
A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, I did not see that coming.
Worst episode of Oprah ever.
Ever.
Yeah.
Worst episode so what ever. Happened? Because the cast is great.
Yes.
Well, and the story is interesting.
I think the director, Ava DuVernay, who did a great job with Selma, was biting off more than she could chew with this very special effects-laden film. And also, I believe it was a longer movie that was cut down and made incomprehensible because of it. It was boring. The special effects were laughable.
Now, you know Oprah can make it so that you just disappear for saying that, right? You know that.
I love Oprah. I didn't like this movie.
It was Reese Witherspoon, Oprah, and then who else?
Mindy Kaling.
Mindy Kaling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mindy Kaling looked like she was drugged the entire movie, quite frankly. And,
that's not good.
And just in Reese Witherspoon was turned into a flying monster with her signature chin.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Well, good luck to anybody that wants to overtake Wrinkle in Time as the worst movie of 2018. All right, let's talk about what's coming out this week.
Yes, yes, yes.
I guess the biggest release is probably the new Ant-Man movie, the sequel to the first Ant-Man. Dude. This is Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yes, Ant-Man has a partner now, the Wasp. Played by Evangeline Lilly, of course, Paul Rudd, the Ant-Man, Michael Douglas, Hank Pym, the inventor of Ant-Man. Lawrence Fishburne comes in on this one as a kind of semi-rival to Hank Pym. And then Michelle Pfeiffer plays Hank's wife in it.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Good cast. All right, is the movie worth it or not?
Yeah, 3.5 out of 5. It wasn't as good as the first one because the first one had all the surprises. They sort of just amplify on the first one. In fact, the case itself is based on what happened in the first movie. Oh. Now, if you haven't seen the first one, you're going to obviously enjoy this one tremendously, and there's no lag time with it. They do make reference to Captain America Civil War because Ant-Man appears in that one, and he was arrested by the government, so he starts the movie in house arrest.
Oh.
So
it's interesting the way Marvel kind of intertwines a lot of their movie storylines.
Yes, it is. It's almost like the old Saturday morning serials of old. It's like, wait till next year to see what happens.
Yeah.
You know,
except was he the was Red Bull. The character of Ant-Man in the last Avengers movie? I can't remember him being in it. Was
he was not. I think at that point he had been arrested
in jail.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, he was.
But if he can become an ant, can't he shrink himself down to ant size and just crawl through the bars?
You would think so. Yeah. They do come up with a kind of clever solution in the movie when he has to go off and do some.
I like how in the first one he seems to not be up to the task of being a superhero. Is that the same in the second or
he
not?
He still has that feeling of I don't belong.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what makes his character charming. And Rudd's always good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just everything you expect in a popcorn movie for the 4th of July weekend. So.
I've asked you this before. Mm-hmm. The Marvel movies seem to thrive, and the DC movies tend to just lay there.
Yeah.
Marvel has a way of taking minor characters like Ant-Man or Black Panther, just minor characters, and making good movies, and then DC makes big movies out of their big characters, and they're just not as good. Why?
Well, think about the four that have been released. We have Deadpool, we have Ant-Man, we have Black Panther, and we have the Avengers Infinity War
already. All within 3 months.
Already?
Yeah.
And DC has Aquaman coming up. You know,
Wee!
I'm a DC guy, but I have say they need to get some creative juices flowing there, because, see, they're kind of... They kind of putting Wonder Woman on their shoulders and saying, "Oh,
Wonder Woman was really good.
We can do it." Yeah, yeah, we can. Yeah, it was. But I'm just saying, then a year and a half before the next one comes out.
Yep, it's tough. All right, there's a couple of other releases. Yes. We don't have time to get into deep detail. Quickly. But Leave No Trace. What is that?
Leave No Trace. Ben Foster from Hell and High Water.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, he's great as a sort of a ex war vet who lives in the woods with his daughter, mm-hmm. and he's discovered doing that, and the bureaucracy comes down on them and changes their lives. So,
right.
Very interesting picture. Same people who did Winter's Bone, and finally, Three Identical Strangers.
Great title.
Yes, about a
very Hitchcockian title.
Set of triplets who meet each other in the 1990s. They had been separated at birth, but the reason they're separated at birth is the key of this movie. It's a documentary.
Oh, it is. Oh, I didn't know that.
Stranger than fiction. And this week, Sorry to Bother You in a limited release. That is another in the Oakland movies. That's another Oakland movie about a guy who's a telemarketer, played by Lakeith Stanfield, and he talks in his white voice and starts selling a lot of stuff.
Oh. All right. Yeah. And when you say Oakland movies, these are movies shot in and around Oakland. That's
Blind
what that means.
Spotting and Black Panther and Sorry to Bother You.
The Oakland movies.
Set in Oakland, California.
That's Patrick McDonald, film critic for HollywoodChicago.com. That's the website. Visit it. You'll like it. Thanks, Patrick. Appreciate it. A quick break and then some news. And then Mike Toomey joins us in just a little bit from the WGN Morning News. It's Bill Leff with you on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. Wendy has the day off. My friend Mike Toomey from the WGN TV Morning News joins us. He will serve as co-host for the next hour. How are you, Mike?
I'm well, Bill. How are you?
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for being here. I love this new place that you have.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
What do you like about it? Because we're just getting used to it.
Do you like my dress? What's your favorite part?
What do you like most about my dress right now? Because do you think about that? We get like a new house. No one will ever come in there and go, I don't really care for this place.
Right. This place is a hellhole. I don't want any part of this.
Invite you over for a house. I don't care for this place, really. I like your old house better.
Well, you feel the need. You know this. When you move into a new apartment or house, when people come over, you give them, quote unquote, the tour.
Sure.
But most people kind of already know, even though they've not seen your house or apartment, they go, yeah, there'll probably be a couple of bedrooms and a hallway, a bathroom, a kitchen. Yeah, I've seen it.
Basement.
Yeah, maybe a basement, an attic if things are
unfinished
good.
Unfinished part where you throw everything,
right.
Like my house. Yeah.
You still have that in your house?
Of course we do.
Yeah. Will that ever go away?
No. There's always that thought when you go, we should finish off this part too. But then you have to get rid of everything that's in that part.
You do.
I can't get rid of the X-Men from 1991, 92.
You need a room that is like the equivalent of a junk drawer.
Yes.
You know how every house has a junk drawer?
Junk space.
Yeah. Yeah, you need a junk space.
Well, this is what I'm learning. When you're a kid and you move out of your parents' house, you don't take any. There's a lot of things you don't take because I'm not going to use this. But there's no way you can throw it away.
Right.
Well, now I'm on the receiving end of that.
Oh, isn't that fun?
Tubs.
All your kids' stuff that you cannot throw away.
Yep.
I saved a bunch of stuff from my childhood with the goal of one day showing it to my daughters and sitting down, and they would want to recount those memories with me.
Yeah.
And that hasn't come close to happening.
So this is your gym uniform from high school? This
right. Tell
sweet.
Us more.
Yeah. So wait, you turned it inside out and it was a different color? Yes, that's how we did the different teams when we played activities in gym class.
Right.
You put on your gold side and you put on your black side.
And it was magic.
Yes. I want to be able to share that with the kids.
I saved 1 year in Little League. I was on the Indians, and we won the championship.
That was a good team, too.
The Indians, you lived in another suburb, but you heard about the Oak Forest Indians.
Legendary.
How great we were.
Yeah.
So I saved the flag at our banquet.
You're like Rick Monday of the Oak Forest Indians.
Yes.
You saved the flag.
I saved the flag. I'm Chicago's Rick Monday. Oh, yes. He was Chicago's Rick Monday. All right, so the flag was at our banquet, and it had the Indians logo on it, and I had everybody on the team sign it. And I said, someday I will show this to my children, and boy, will they be proud.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 seconds into it, they both let me know that there was nothing on the planet that was less interesting than that.
Right.
Yep.
No, they're not. Nobody's talking about the 27 Yankees anymore either, and they were great. Right. So it's not. Don't feel badly, you know.
As time marches on, other things happen,
right?
And interest wanes.
Yeah.
So here's what they told me: that you were having trouble getting in through security. Why wouldn't security allow you into the building, Mike? What's wrong?
I'm not sure. I gave all the proper identification. I think this is just, you know, getting what we call getting the kinks out.
Yes.
In the early day. Early
There's little
days,
bits. The third day we were here, already lost my building security pass. Mm-hmm. There's a little badge that they give you that you swipe everywhere important in the building, mm-hmm. and then doors magically open and you can move on to the next mm-hmm. level. I lost mine. So I gave them my name downstairs, and, you know, my name is Bill, but on my birth certificate, it's William.
Oh, of course.
So I show them my license that says William, and they look at the file for WGN employees, and
there's
I'm not there.
There.
So 10 minutes of this back and forth, I go, I've been here for a long time. No, not according to the not according to the charter, they said. You're not a part of the station. But one guy said, but your brother works there. Why don't you call your brother and have him let you in?
Who's your brother?
My brother is Bill Leff, as it turns out. I'm showing him a William
Leff
driver's
Bill.
License, but my brother Bill works
so
here.
So your parents had kids William and Bill? Sure.
Yeah. So I had to explain to the man downstairs that it's the same name, but he didn't believe me.
Right.
He goes, no, those are different names. I go,
I had a similar situation with my brother Michael a couple weeks ago. We were, hey, I will say this. The security guy downstairs was nice enough to sell me a pool pass for $80.
Oh, he was?
Yeah. So
how fortunate for you.
I guess from what I understand, I use that anytime I want.
You're very lucky.
Yeah, and my family.
You're very lucky.
Yeah.
All right. Moments ago, you and I off the air started a discussion that I think needs to be had on the air.
Sure.
There's a word that you say a grown man should not use. That if you're a proud grown man growing up in today's society, there's no place for this word. And what is that word?
Well, I can't even say it. I have a hard time saying it myself.
Because it's so not like you to use this word.
Right.
Can you say what it starts with?
You can say it.
I will say it, but will you think less of me when I say it?
No, I won't, because we're
setting it up.
We're discussing it.
You say, Mike Toomey, that the word yummy...
I hate it.
Y-U-M-M-Y, yummy, should not be used by a grown man in today's society.
It should not. It just...
Because why?
Shivers. Any adult, I mean...
Women but, also cannot say yummy.
It's worse, though, when I, you know, like some, you know, 60-year-old guy goes, boy, that sure was a yummy pizza. Like, stop it. Don't say it. I hate it.
Would the word delicious be okay?
That's okay.
That's all right. What would the word, if you ate something or saw something that would be qualified by some as yummy, what would your word be to use it?
It would be like, this is really good.
This is great.
Yeah, this is great.
I want more of this.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that.
What if you were singing that yummy, 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 I got love?
Oh, that's a good point, Mary.
I guess I could.
Can
do
you do
it.
That?
I guess I could.
Then in that case.
But I've never actually, I like that song, too. I've just never actually sang it. Who is that?
Until today. That's Mary Vandeveld.
But no, the Fruit Gum Company. Oh. I know Mary. Hi, Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
But no, the Fruit Gum Company, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, something.
Yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy. But your version would just be...
Yeah. I'm not uncomfortable hearing you sing that song, but if you were eating something right now...
And I said that was
like,
yummy.
If you were eating a ding-dong and you said it was yummy, I would be like, Bill, I gotta go.
That's a very realistic situation that you just described.
Would have one, yeah.
I would have a ding-dong, and I would say to you, Mike, you can't believe how yummy this ding-dong is.
If you said that, even King Ding-Dong would say, don't ever eat my product ever again.
Now, my word that I say that no respectable man should say, I'm okay with women saying this word, but I don't think a guy should say it is brunch.
Yeah.
I'm so uncomfortable saying brunch.
I'm okay with the word. I don't say it a lot. I'm okay with the word because I like the event. I would love to go to one. But you wait for someone else to say the word
right.
so you can get on board. Like,
yes.
Someone says, let's do brunch. You're like, absolutely.
I'm in.
Let's do that.
But I won't say it myself.
You won't bring it up. You'd rather end up eating somewhere else that's not even as good because you can't say it.
Right. And if I'm with my family and we pass by a restaurant that advertises, mm-hmm. you know, Sunday, even if it said like free Sunday brunch,
right?
All you can eat, free Sunday brunch. I go,
No,
I don't want to be part of that.
I want people saying it all day.
Right. Are you enjoying our brunch? Yeah, it's yummy. You and I would both get kicked out of that.
Everybody has words they hate. Here's the thing. Don't tell people you hate them because then they'll say them.
No, you're right.
My kids do that. If they know
there's words you hate and they go out of their way
to say them.
To hurt you with these words.
Right.
Can you say what any of them are? Are you comfortable?
That was the one.
Yummy.
Yeah. The others will remain secret.
So your kids.
You have to get my kids to
tell torture you constantly say yummy.
Yeah.
That's cruel and unusual punishment,
Mike.
Yeah,
not all of them, but.
The ones
one
you don't
in
like.
Particular will use it.
The other day, when Wendy was here on Tuesday, we were talking about words or phrases that your parents would say mm-hmm. that for some reason, you know, time has passed, as we said, so they're not so much of a thing now. Can you think of a word or a phrase your mom or dad would say that you go, well, that would never fly today?
Right, but here's the thing.
What?
When they say those words to you, they plant them in your brain.
Yes.
And you don't even know they're there, and then you have kids, and then yes. all of a sudden they just come out.
You're right.
Like, well, did I just say that? I honestly, the first time I said the word roughhousing, I
rough
was
housing.
Like, what is wrong with me? That's like, that's even older than my, it's like, say you fetters better stop with the tomfoolery and roughhousing and someone's liable to slap you right in the puss. Knock it off the roughhousing, see? And they'll throw you in the river. You're going to the DA, you're going to sing, see? With the roughhousing and the tomfoolery. And the chicanery. I really, hey, stop roughhousing. This was years ago when the kids were little. Like, stop roughhousing. And then I said it, I'm like, oh my God.
It's always used in the negative. There's never a place that goes, we fully allocate for roughhousing. If yes. you want a roughhouse while you're here, have at it.
I tell you, we had a hell of a roughhousing session the other day, and it was really, really positive.
The people who lived behind us when I was growing up, the Puglisi family.
Of course, the Puglisis.
They never said roughhousing. You know what they would say? While you're here, no hanky-panky.
Wow.
They didn't want any hanky-panky while we were visiting. We could roughhouse.
Were you okay with the phrase?
I always thought it was 1940s-y.
Yeah.
You know, much like roughhousing,
I once had a baby who did that.
Ooh, hanky panky.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. Doesn't do it anymore.
Mike, are we accepting phone calls?
Yeah.
Yes. We're at 312-981-7200. Carolyn would like to jump in on this. How are you, Carolyn?
Hi.
What do you make of all this?
Well, I think that the word yummy is appropriate when you're working with children.
Wait, Carolyn, hold on. Mike,
my stomach is
with
turning.
Children involved, though, not adults, but with children, can you say yummy?
I don't.
No? Well, Mike says no.
No, I don't say it to kids. I just say, that's pretty good, isn't it? It's pretty good ho-ho. I'm on a hostess. Like
everything
now,
you've used as a comparison has been a hostess product.
I'm on a hostess thing right now.
Carolyn, why kids? Why is it okay for kids?
I don't know. I just think it sounds like it's. If you say yummy, I just think it's going to be yummy. You know, it's going to taste good. It's going to be something you're going to like.
Right.
So,
it's a kid word, Mike. Kids can enjoy the word yummy, not adults, though.
I think if you would have said it to me when I was seven, I might have had the same.
Yeah, word. Even at seven.
It's a Barney word, kind of. It's kind of a Barney word. Boy.
It's yummy.
These are sure are yummy. I want to have more. Let's go to brunch, Bill. There's lots of yummy things at the brunch.
Carolyn, I'm on your side. Mike won't have it, though.
Oh, well, I tried.
I'm with you, though. Thanks so much. Have a good weekend.
You too.
All right, let's do this.
Bye.
We'll take a quick break and then more show. Mike Toomey sitting in for Wendy. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Left with you on WGN. Mike Toomey from the WGN TV Morning News. Mike, here's a fun game. I will mention a coworker of yours on the WGN Morning News, and you tell me something bad about them.
Okay.
All right. Let's start out with Larry Potash.
He never wants to, break the rules. I always try to get him to, and he won't do it. Like,
why?
I was trying to get him to smoke the other day, during your break.
Wait, you wanted him to smoke a cigarette?
Like, I had a pack of cigarettes.
But you don't smoke.
I know. Well, that's the thing. And I had a pack, and like, I'm like, Larry, here, have one. And he's like, no.
Because the rule is no smoking.
It irritated me that he wouldn't smoke.
Would you call him a Boy Scout?
I call him a square.
Yeah, he's a square.
Yeah.
Yep, that's the right way to call him. Paul Conrad.
I don't know.
It's one bad thing about Paul Conrad. He's not listening. He's not going to think ill of you.
Paul's on vacation.
That's not bad. That's good. He deserves a vacation.
Yeah, he deserves a vacation. That's one of the things people say a lot about Paul. Like, he takes a lot of...
Oh, he takes a lot of days off.
Yeah. But, hey, if you're allowed them, what are you supposed to do?
You got to take them.
No, I'm not going to.
No.
I'm coming in.
So the bad thing about him, again, is he takes a lot of vacation.
He takes all the days he's given.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's worse things than that.
It's worse.
That's not terrible. Robin Baumgarten. Something bad about her.
Now you got to dig really deep to find something.
She's a nice lady, isn't
she? Yeah, she is a nice lady.
She's a professional.
Yep.
Nobody
doesn't like her.
Yeah, everybody's a fan.
You know what? Everywhere I go, if people recognize me, that's the first thing they say. Where's Robin?
They want to know where she is because you work together. Yeah. You should always stand next to each other.
Right, or at least know where she is. I pull out my GPS. Robin right now is in aisle 4 of the Jewel.
So they want to know specifically where she is, not generally.
Robin? Where is she? You know what?
You know, people have done that with me, with Wendy, if I'm doing an appearance.
Where's Wendy?
She's got to be here somewhere, right? And then when I was little, if I was someplace without my brother, they would do the same thing with my brother. Where's your brother? Mm-hmm. I don't know. He's somewhere. He's not here. Why does it matter?
I have a funny story.
About my brother?
About your brother, Adam, who I love. Adam left. And your other brother, William.
Yeah.
Who's
he's also good.
Also a great guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
You know how, like, every couple months you'll have the Orkin people come and spray for spiders and all that kind of stuff? So we just have it automatic every, I don't know, three times a year or whatever, they come and they do it. And I didn't know the guy was coming, and it was one of those days where the house wasn't really, you know, it looking its best.
That happens.
It was kind of disheveled, out of order. And, you know, we got to get to it. But now the Orkin guy, and I get home, and he's already there. And I'm like, oh, great. House looks terrible.
Yeah.
And this guy's got to go through the whole thing.
Yep.
And I'm like,
he's going to think you, a veteran of TV, he's going to think you're a slob.
Well, what if he's... sees the show and then sees that guy and goes, that guy's house is really
awful,
messy. Right. Yeah. So he sits down, we're, you know, talking, and he goes through and he doesn't say anything. So I'm like, okay, I'm in the clear.
Yeah.
No problem. He does the whole house and he's leaving. I sign the papers. And just before the door closes, he goes, hey, say hi to Robin for me. I'm like, oh.
So he knew who you were.
But the house doesn't always look like that. It just got away from
him. Did you run after him to tell him that on his way to the car?
I'll say hi to her.
That's terrible.
I know. I thought I was, I'm so in the clear. He does not.
Why did he hold back until the last second, do you think?
I don't know.
He should have opened with that.
Yes.
Hey, I've seen you on TV.
Where's Robin?
Yeah. Right. One more. Pat Tomasulo told me. Now, I should say Dean, too, but I know Dean. I know there's nothing.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started
on
that
guy. We'd be here until 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Dean is the meanest man.
The worst, isn't he?
He's awfully mean.
Horribly mean.
Yeah, and
horribly
a terrible work ethic. He does not work nearly enough.
If he shows up at all. Some weeks he just doesn't show up.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I don't even know if Dean sleeps.
Is that
true? Every time you see him, he's working.
Well, I saw him last night. He had the honor. This is ridiculous, but they ran the fireworks last night on Channel 9. Mm-hmm. They showed you the fireworks, and Dean hosted that.
Standing in the rain hosting.
Yeah. He had to, it was a wet night to host the fireworks.
Yeah.
But there's not a whole lot you can do. You know, here's a green one. Here's a blue one. Oh, a yellow one. But he did a great job with it, I thought.
Do you know who would have been really good describing the fireworks?
Who?
Floyd the Barber.
How would that sound
from the Andy Griffith Show.
How would that sound? Because Floyd the Barber.
Or Merv Griffin, you think, would be good?
Ooh. Those were two guys whose career it was to just make ooh and ah noises.
Right.
So that would have been your tag team to do.
Nobody ever got them to do the fireworks display.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
All right, give me Pat Tomasulo, and then we'll move on to other things. Something bad about Pat Tomasulo.
Pat, I don't know.
Nothing bad?
No, I got to be honest. We used to have more conversations than we do now, but he is, very much like Dean, a very, very busy guy. Like, he is...
He's a man of the people now.
He is a man...
And Saturday nights, Mike, will never be the same. What the ad said.
He's a man of the people.
Yeah.
But he is, like, really, really, you know...
I'm so happy for him to get that television show, aren't you?
Yeah, me too. Absolutely.
He owes you... I'm sure he knows this. He'd be the first to agree with me. When he decided he wanted to try stand-up, he did the right thing. He went to the best. He went to you, and he said, how do I do this? He did that, and a la 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 la, she also did that.
Who did?
A la 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 la.
Okay.
La 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 la. Both a la 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 and he, Pat Tomasulo, went to you, and you crafted them into both very good stand-ups. You don't think so?
They're both very good at what they do, but not... I mean, I just pointed them in the right direction. You know what I mean?
But if they didn't go to you, they would have no direction.
Well, I think they would have been...
You think they would have been okay?
I think they would have been okay.
What if they went to Gallagher?
Then they'd both be smashing stuff. Would you see Anna with like a giant mallet crushing mangoes? And
Mike, this is no shot on you, but I think that might be a better direction
probably
for
better
her.
Probably better than the way I steered
I
her.
Do. I really do. Are you up for this? I should have run this past you earlier, but I just thought of it on my way in today. When I was doing the night show, you were kind enough to come by several times. You would sit in with me. And because of your love of television and my love of television, we would have people call up and try to stump us with TV trivia.
That was always fun.
Do you want to do some of that today?
I would love to do that.
We have prizes. I don't know how big they are, but we do have prizes. So let's do this. When we come back, we'll do some news first. We'll give you the news. But then after the news, people can try their best to stump you and me at TV trivia. There were some codicils to this. There were some rules. Like, it couldn't be like what was in one episode of All in the Family.
Right.
Archie had a friend named Robbie. What was his address? It couldn't be like that, right. But it was stuff like who played this guy, who played that guy, right. What was the name, right? That kind of thing.
I have a little thing I'd like to add to it. Okay, let's say they introduce the question and they don't stump us. You or I get it right, then I get the prize.
You then get the prize. But I think there's some FCC law against that. You're not comfortable. You're okay?
When that adds fun to it. Makes it more fun.
What if...
It's like now they're competing against us to keep me from getting...
Oh, that's an interesting twist.
Yeah, it's fun.
Let me throw this at you. And if you're not, if you don't want to do this, we don't have to.
Okay.
I know we have some prizes. This is WGN. There's prizes here somewhere. What if they ask us a question and you get it or I get it? They, the listener, has to provide us with a prize.
That's
great.
They
have to send us something.
Something from work.
Right.
Yeah.
Wherever they work, they have to look around their office, find something of value, and send it to you or me or both of us.
Yes.
We should both get that.
Mm-hmm.
What if they did that on Jeopardy?
You have to give Alex Trebek?
Yeah. If you're not the winner of Jeopardy, you have to give Alex Trebek a car or a boat or something.
Stapler.
Or a stapler. Yeah. I think that would change the game show climate.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think that would be really funny.
That's truly making a deal.
Right. That would be better.
How am I making a deal if I start with nothing and can only gain? That's not a deal.
That is not
a
deal.
It's a terrible deal for them.
Right. That's an awful deal. Yeah. Who is the best game show host of all time?
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one, right? Is it Trebek?
Bob Barker. Maybe Bob Barker.
Bob Barker.
How about Richard Dawson?
Why would you say Richard Dawson?
Because he was more of a real guy, and he didn't do the show host got a voice. He did the...
He was real.
On the paper survey, top 5 answers are on the board, name a place. By the end, you're like, well, I don't even...
Well, you maintain that Richard Dawson was drunk every day.
So. I think he was. Sometimes it was like, wait, what? What's up? Are you going to get all the money? If not, going to get a chance to steal? Show me what? Wait, am I even playing this game
Richard
anymore?
Dawson was drunk every day.
You know when he came back?
Yeah.
Remember he left the show and there's a couple other guys and then he came back. They said the reason he left the second time was because he was talking so softly that they
couldn't hear him.
Couldn't understand him or hear him. And then he got mad about that when they said,
oh no,
I can't do that. He's like, I'm going to have to keep... They should just close caption. Richard Dawson, 100 people surveyed, top 5 answers the
now I understand him. Now, do you think with today's climate of men doing things inappropriate in and around women,
that
Richard Dawson French kissing all the female guests on Family Feud would have flown? I don't know that it would have.
Openly.
Yes.
Openly. Like if anyone would have said, I don't know how to even attack this topic, but Richard Dawson came right up and kissed me. I know. We saw it.
Everybody saw it.
Yeah, everybody. We have it on tape. People applauded when he did it.
Right. I'm not sure that he could have gotten away with that today.
Not today.
I'm almost positive not.
No. All right. What about Wink Martindale? Well, he was a good host.
He wins just for having a name like Wink Martindale. That's the best name in the history of game shows.
Bob Eubanks
was good.
Pat Sajak has some staying power.
Has he been hosting the show for 35 years?
Got to be at least.
Got to be. Yeah. Who did he replace? Who was the host?
There's a guy named Goen. His last name is Goen, G-O-E-N.
Tom Goen, I want to say, who was a former NFL player, right?
A kicker.
Yeah.
But, you know, they did a pilot. You can see this on YouTube. I'm trying to remember. Who was the guy in Greece? The
John Travolta.
No, he was in Greece. Might have been Greece, too. He was like a show host, like a Dick Clark kind of show host.
Oh, who would that have been? I don't know who that was.
He was the host on the pilot.
See
on YouTube, and I think there was an issue there with him.
He was drinking too.
Yeah.
Wasn't Chuck Woolery the first
Chuck
host?
Chuck Woolery was the host of
the first host of.
And he left because he wanted to pursue a career in country music.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Who hasn't done that?
Well,
I've done it. You've done it.
We've all done it. Fortunately, they let you come back.
Yep.
You fall
lucky for us.
Joanne Flug was his wife.
Yes. Joanne Flug. All right, let's do this. A quick break, some news, and then can you stump Mike and I at television trivia? If you can, there's a prize involved. If you can't, you owe us a prize. It's never been done that way on radio before. Mm-hmm. That's coming up in just a little bit. Stick around. It's Bill and Mike in for Wendy on WGN. Eric, thank you very much. It's Bill Leff. It's Mike Toomey from the WGN TV Morning News sitting in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday. All right, Mike, you and I are big fans of television. And actually, again, if you have not seen Mike's one-man show, TV and Me, Go see it. When is the next time? Do you have plans for it to remount sometime?
Working on something for the first part of next year.
It's such a great show.
I will. You'll be the first to know.
Please, please. Will you make the announcement here with us?
I sure will.
That'll mean the world to me. All right. So
in this place. You'll still be in this place.
Yeah.
Because last time it was at a different one.
Yeah, we used to have a different, the Tribune Tower.
So every time I go here, the last two times I've come to see you, it's in two different places.
And there's talk of us moving to the Willie's Weenie Wagon. We may broadcast from there. We don't know yet. We're working on that.
All right.
In Oak Forest. Okay. Mike and I love television trivia, and if you can stump us, it's by Papa's Pizza.
Okay.
The late, great Papa's Pizza. 312-981-7200, give us a call, and we'll do our best to get you on the air. Let's start out with Daryl, who has a question for us. Daryl, go ahead. How are you?
Hello.
Hi,
how
Daryl.
Are you?
You're going to try to stump us, Daryl, with a television trivia question. Go ahead.
Who's the announcer from You Bet Your Life?
That would be George Fenneman.
George Fenneman, yeah.
No.
You now have one wrong.
I thought it was Roger Fenneman.
No, it's George Fenneman.
Definitely George. Yep. You're thinking of Roger Federer.
Right. He was the announcer on You Bet Your Life.
He came on later. Right. And then they're like, you're wasting your talents
right.
by doing this announcement.
All right, to Coach Mark. Pack up my toaster and send it to
yes,
you.
You must send a surprise now, Daryl,
please.
Is it
a two or a four, Daryl?
A toaster for two.
Oh, two. Two pieces.
Slicer.
All right.
All right, yeah, send that out to us.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Daryl.
Baba Booey.
Hey, Baba Booey to you, sir. I didn't expect that.
I did not see
that coming from Daryl. All right. Henry is in Woodridge. He has a television trivia question. He will try to stump us. For everybody in the booth, please write down the names and numbers of everybody calling. We're doing that, Tom? Okay, good, because somebody's going to be a winner. We don't know who yet, but we'll pick somebody at random to win some prizes. Go ahead, Henry. Do you have a question for Mike and myself?
Yes, I'm sure both you gentlemen, knowing your ages, probably they did quite a few remakes of the Brady Bunch.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
They had everything from A Very Brady Christmas and so forth. Well, in at least one of the movies, they made a specific casting choice that was directly related to someone from the original cast. Who was that character and who was that actor?
Oh, I might need more information.
By that, do you mean like they replaced one of them?
They didn't replace them, but again, it was a casting choice of a family member from the original cast.
Did they incorporate Mike Lookinland's kid?
You got it.
That's
it.
It
was one of, that Mike Lookinland was one of the cameramen on there. Yep.
So Mike Lookinland played Bobby Brady, and they cast his real children as Bobby's children?
Exactly, or as actually Bobby Brady. So in other words, the son ended up playing his own father.
He became a behind-the-scenes
guy. Oh, now it makes sense.
Mike Lookinland went behind the scenes.
Henry, let me throw a Brady Bunch question your way. What famous actress played an aunt who kind of had a resemblance to Jan Brady?
Jan Brady.
Yeah.
The adjective fell off there. Which specific, what age or what class?
Who's the actress who played her aunt?
Was it Aunt Jenny, right?
Yeah.
The character, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that was Aunt Jenny.
Played by?
You're killing me. I should know it, but I don't.
She also had a very famous husband in television.
Yes.
Well, the only one I can think of would be like Regis Philbin.
It was not Regis Philbin. It was not.
It was not Mike? Joey Philbin. Imogene Coca.
Imogene Coca. Yep. Okay.
All right. You owe a surprise. You got to send a surprise.
Oh, we're going to get some great stuff.
Thank you so much, Henry.
Thanks, guys.
Take care. I sure hope people follow through and do as the rules insist and send a surprise. I'd be very upset if they didn't. Let's go to Tom. He has a question for us. Tom's in Joliet. Go ahead, Tom. What is your TV trivia question?
Andy Griffith's show, who was often mentioned but never seen.
Oh, it was Mr. Then they still don't know the name of that actor. I remember? Oh, often never seen but often mentioned?
Yes.
Sarah.
Sarah was the operator.
She would have stayed on track with your first guest, but okay.
Right.
She was the operator. They would always.
Yes. You never heard her voice, never saw her.
Right.
She never slept. She's like Dean Richards. She's the Dean Richards of Mayberry.
She
never slept.
She was called the Dean Richards of Mayberry. Tom, you must send a surprise, something nice, okay?
Not a problem.
All right, thanks. We'll look for it in the mail. Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
I thought he was going with that character. I forget his name. Was Mr. Something, but he was in a lot of episodes, and he was referenced, but to this day, they've never said the name of
Him. Well, there have been a lot of people in television, like on Cheers, the character Vera, who is often referred
to. Norm's wife.
Norm's wife. Mm-hmm. You never saw her. Sam Malone's brother was never seen. He was the star of an episode, but they blocked the episode as such, so you never saw him. Mm-hmm. There was always a crowd of people standing around him, which was really good. I'm trying to think of who else on television you never saw, but was often referred to. On Frasier, not Frasier's wife, but his brother's wife, Niles' wife, you never saw, did you?
No, and you never saw Lars on Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, right, right,
it was
right.
Phyllis's husband.
Right.
You never saw
even
Lars.
When that was a sitcom, when that spun off, I think Lars' character had died, right? Is that why she left Minneapolis? Yeah. And then there's other characters, we've talked about this before, who you do see who just vanish mysteriously, the most famous of all being
Chuck Cunningham.
Yeah. He went upstairs and never came downstairs. Back.
And they just eliminated his existence. They didn't even say he went away. They just...
Mike, in the last episode of Happy Days, do you remember?
Yeah.
Tom Bosley's character, Mr. C, the lovable Mr. C, talks to his wife about how great it was to raise two children. And you and I are at home going, what about Chuck?
Yeah.
He's still upstairs bouncing a basketball. Go save Chuck.
Maybe he wasn't a child.
He was a figment of somebody's imagination.
Years, we raised two children and an android. Here's to Happy Days. Did the toast.
All right. Do you have a question to stump Mike and myself? TV trivia. Give us a try. So far, Mike, I think we're three out of three.
Doing okay.
I think we're three out of three. All right. Try your best to stump us. We're at 312-981-7200. There will either be a prize to you if you're somebody who stumps us, or you owe us a prize. Either way, that's coming up in just a minute. It's Bill and Mike in for Wendy on WGN. My guest is Mike Toomey. Wendy has the day off today, and tomorrow she will return on Monday. But Mike Toomey is here from the WGN TV Morning News and thousands upon thousands of appearances in nightclubs and comedy clubs in and around Chicago. Have you ever stopped and even calculated how many shows you've done, Mike?
I can't imagine. I mean, 30, how many years? 30.
Over 30 six, years.
36 years.
I bet you've done over 10,000 shows.
Gotta be, right?
Right? Yeah. Right. And I bet you only remember the bad ones.
I only remember three of them.
10,000?
Yeah.
That's about right.
I remember three.
Do you do
and
this?
They did not go well.
Do you ever do this after a day over at WGN TV Morning News when it's a good show and then somebody will say to you, your wife will go, hey, how was the show? Who'd you have on today? And even though you just did it moments ago or hours ago, you go,
right.
I don't know.
Right. That happens. It's like I always think your brain is like that wastebasket that's already full.
Right.
And when you throw a piece of paper and it just bounces off the top.
Right.
That's like
how
new
our brains
things.
Are.
That's things that happen. It's already full.
That's scary.
I can tell you what happened in second grade.
Right. All day long.
Yeah.
What happened today? Don't know.
Found like I need more new stories. Like
right.
My kids have heard every good story I have. I either have to make new friends or just make something up or
let's
just
do it.
Get it. Yeah.
Do you have to make new friends?
That's, make new friends.
It comes to that.
These are great stories and everybody I know has heard them at least once.
All right. We're at 312-981-7200. Do you have a TV trivia question that can stump either Mike or myself? So far, Mike.
We've been good.
We've batted 1,000.
Yes.
That's not bad. Let's go to, I think this is Frank in Naperville. Frank, is that you?
Yes, it's me.
Frank, go ahead.
Hi, Frank.
Hi, Frank. Nice to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well, guys. My question is, the show debuted probably a little more than 60 years ago and probably still is in syndication to this day, the Flintstones. I would like to ask you, what was Barney Rubble's occupation?
This is a great question, Mike. On the Flintstones, did you ever see the Flintstones, Mike?
He did some IT work, didn't he?
He was big into IT, yeah.
And somebody would go, there was no computers in the Stone Age.
This is fake. All right, so Barney Rubble obviously had an occupation. He did something for a living. You couldn't live in a nice house the way he and Betty lived if you didn't have a nice job. So what was the job that Barney Rubble had on the Flintstones?
Didn't he work for a spell with Fred at the quarry?
At the quarry, that's what I was thinking.
I don't know if that was his deal the whole time.
Oh, interesting. All right, so we're going to go with at a quarry. Is that the right answer, Frank?
Did he work?
Which quarry did he work at?
Oh, the name of the quarry?
Slate?
Yeah,
Slate Quarry. Is that right?
Well, back in the early episodes, they only introduced the segment once. He actually worked at the Slate Stone and Gravel Quarry.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Circle gets the square on that.
Yeah, I don't
think... It was at the Slate Rock and Gravel Company.
All right.
Okay.
So do you give it to us? Were we close enough?
I think I say yeah.
Mike, you say yes.
I say we got to get something from this gentleman.
You got to set a surprise, Frank.
Well, what can we expect to see in the mail, Frank?
And we want it soon. Don't put us off a couple of weeks. You got to send it out today, okay?
Yeah, after 2 weeks, we call.
Right. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Frank. Take care. Bye. I don't know that Frank's going to send a surprise.
No.
All right. Here's a question, a Flintstones question for you. On the Flintstones, they start showing Mr. Slate, and he's a larger man.
Yes, a mustache.
Yeah, he's got a mustache,
hair.
Right.
Yeah.
And then two seasons pass, and then Mr. Slate shows up, and he's a smaller man without a mustache.
But they replaced a cartoon actor.
They got a different guy to play Mr. Slate.
Yes, and they drew it.
So what happened?
I don't get it. It's like the soap opera. The role of Mr. Slate is now being played by... Whatever.
And I liked the first Mr. Slate.
The second Mr. Slate,
were you a bigger fan of the second one?
My aunt married a gentleman who looked exactly like...
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. Mr. Slate.
And was he one day replaced by another guy who looked nothing like the first one?
No, he replaced the other guy.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. He was her second husband. It's weird, right?
It happens.
Yeah.
Stuff like that happens. All right, let's talk to Tim, calling all the way from Indiana, Mike.
Oh.
This is an interstate phone call. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Nice to talk to you. Do you have a question for us?
Can we get a status check?
Yes, I do.
Can we get a status check?
The old Western TV show, Rawhide.
Yes.
One of the characters made a silly comedy record that got super popular.
Huh.
At 45.
And what year would you say this is?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. This goes way back.
So it would have to be the late 50s, early 60s if it was Rawhide, right?
I would assume that's true.
All right. So one of the actors on Rawhide.
Let me ask you this. If we heard the song, would we say, oh, yeah, I've heard that song a million times. It's a funny novelty.
Yes, you would.
We've heard the song. All right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, let me throw this out.
You probably sang it.
Here's a possibility. Clint Eastwood played Rowdy Yates on Rawhide and did some singing. He was in a movie called Paint Your Wagon, which if you haven't seen, you're very fortunate. Is that is it a Clint Eastwood song?
No.
It is not a Clint Eastwood song.
Hmm.
All right.
That's the only Rawhide actor I would
the
be
The theme
to
from
identify.
Rawhide was Frankie Lane, right?
Correct.
But he was never an actor on Rawhide, right?
No,
he only did the singing. Okay, so it's not Frankie Lane either. I think you may have stumped us. Mike, no guesses?
You know, let's try to narrow it down a little bit. Was it like a song you'd hear?
I'll give you a hint.
All right, give us a hint.
The actor was Shep Woolley.
Oh, right. I know who Shep Woolley is. So would that be the one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater?
Yes, it is.
Ah!
That thing.
And you have to admit, you sang along with it.
That always looked strange to me when I saw it.
Wow, that's a great question. Well, we're going to put your name in the running, Tim. You may be a winner. We don't have much time left, but you may be a winner, Tim. Very nice question.
Oh, cool.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
He did have to give you the name of the guy, but, I mean, we get half credit.
Right. We get a half. So he should still send us something, but something small.
Like, if the one guy was going to send us a four-way toaster, he would send us a two.
A two-slicer.
Yeah. Yep,
that's
fine. That was good, though. I was going to ask him about the status of the fireworks in Indiana being after the 4th
now. That's a good question.
They're going to be so depleted. Yeah,
this would be the worst time to go fireworks shopping.
To go to Crazy Kaplan's.
Don't go to Crazy Kaplan's. Let's try one more question. It's going to be, let's try Patty out. Patty's calling from Arlington Heights. Hi, Patty. How are you?
Hi, I'm wonderful. How are you?
Couldn't be better, Patty. You're our last contestant today. Try your best to stump Mike Toomey and I at TV Trivia. What have you got for us?
Okay, me and my grandma, we all used to watch Young and the Restless.
True.
And... do you know if David Hasselhoff used to be on Young and the Restless?
I'm going to say he was.
I will agree with you, Mike.
Okay.
David Hasselhoff was an actor on Young and the Restless.
Okay, and do you know what character name he played?
I was not a Young and the Restless guy.
No. That's a great question, but I do not. What is the correct answer for that?
His name was Snapper.
Snapper.
Oh.
Because? Mm-hmm. Is there a reason?
Because you don't want to make that guy snap. He had a short temper.
He had a horrible, horrible temper.
He was always in bed with some lady.
Oh. He was, there now it all makes sense. He was a snapper.
He's Hasselhoff.
Yep.
He was always, I think That's what made him a movie star.
Yep, sure. David Hasselhoff. All right, we will also put your name in, Patty, either you or our last caller, Frank. Somebody's going to win this. So good luck to you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, take care.
You know, there's a weird, convoluted Hasselhoff trail, and I'm not sure if I'm getting this right.
Michael Knight?
Yes. His name is Michael Knight. Okay.
Yes.
And his wife, what was her name? Was it Catherine Hickland?
Yes. Hickland. That sounds right. Hickland, maybe.
She married a guy whose real name is Michael Knight, right, who played Ted Martin
on All My Children.
Yeah.
So how does that happen?
She was married to a guy named Michael Knight and to a guy who played a character named Michael Knight.
It's almost television's equivalent of, you know, if you have monogram towels,
uh-huh,
and you don't want to change them, so you only want to marry somebody who's got the same initials.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have monogram towels of his character. Like, Bob Denver didn't have towels.
He didn't have Gilligan towels? He must have had Gilligan towels.
Yeah. Gilligan. He got them as a gift, and he couldn't say anything.
But that's the strangest anomaly in the history of television, is that some woman, Catherine Hickland, would do that, marry a guy and a character with the same name.
She just liked that. She was attracted to the name. Michael Knight.
Anyone named Michael Knight.
Yeah.
One of them is Michael E. Knight, though. That's the only difference.
Is he?
Right? The guy who played Ted Martin, I believe, is Michael E. Knight.
Changed it to E. Or he changed it?
Yeah. Yeah. So he could be on E! Television.
Okay.
That's the reason. We will say goodbye to you formally, Mike, in just a little bit. Oh, Tom, do we know who won our contest? Not yet? All right. We will announce the winner. Which did you pick one of them at random, one of the people who tried to stump us?
I got to go with the Rowdy Yates, the Rawhide.
That was a pretty good question.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll give the prize to him?
Yeah.
Everybody else must send us a prize.
Send us things.
All right. That's fair. That's fair.
Host this product.
Please. Host this. All right. Mike, thank you so much for filling in today.
Oh, God. It was
so much
fun.
Say goodbye formally in just a little bit. I'm just getting you ready.
I love being here with you.
We'll find out what Steve has on the Wintrust Business Lunch in just a moment. It's Bill and Mike in for Wendy on WGN.